Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics, such as...
Thor is a lesbian. I don't know how that was collectively decided by our community, but it is as such, and therefore Thor Ragnarok is great representation.
The lesbians have claimed him, therefore Thor is ours. We love you, Thor, and those arms are everything.
Strange phenomenon.
Yes, the lesbians just decided on Twitter, and I agree. Like, it's... He's us, we are him. Or she? Fuck it.
They are us. Okay. What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? A.K.A. What's up, Maite?
Yo, what's up, fried papita? I feel like we're trying to force our names into this episode. I hope you guys are okay with that. I'm Maite, newly on a public Instagram, MYTE Panda, Maite Panda. It me, your girl.
It her, y'all. I'm fried papita, and y'all know that already. Hopefully, you guys confuse us all the time.
Why don't you have fried papita as your Instagram name?
Because I am in the shape of a fried papita. Like, I love papitas con todo. It's my life.
No, I said, why don't you?
Why are you?
You don't have fried papita as your Instagram name.
Oh, because I don't care if people find my Instagram or not. Like, I don't care at all. It's cabrona on there. So that way it's like, okay, you can find me if you really want to look, but I don't really care.
Oh, interesting. All right. Well, cool.
I'm antisocial. So I'm just like, if you find me, great. If you don't, I barely post. So.
Quit lying. Anyways, we are basically catching up because it's been a while since we recorded. Quite a while. When was the last time?
Oh my God, yes.
Fuck, like early June or something? I don't know.
I think it was early June, yeah. And oh my God, this last episode, I was so jealous. My heart was so full. I was so happy.
Yeah, oh my God, Babelito was a dream. He schooled the fuck out of me, man. Like, honestly, I felt like a little thumb dumb, but he was so much.
I learned so much.
I'm really interested. Yeah.
Oh, dude, it was so educational. I was sitting there like, yes, tell me more. Greece.
Literally, I was like, tell me more, and then he did. And
it was really good. Yeah. It was a really good episode.
I hope you guys
and
liked
I'm
it.
So jealous. You got to meet him again.
Yeah, I'm fortunate, or he has been here the entire summer, so I've seen him a couple of times, and he's such a lovely fella. He's going off to Chicago. We're gonna miss him a lot, and hopefully we'll see him sometime in, I don't know, like November maybe.
And also shout out Favi Fav forever.
Yes, love you. I also got to see him last weekend or 3 weekends ago now, and I'm hoping to see him again this month. I don't know, he's been traveling a lot too.
Yes, but shout out to them forever.
Shout out to all Latinos who lunch.
Yes, all of y'all everywhere. So what's coming up?
We have quite a few episodes planned, and but outside of our episodes, there's also an amazing event that's happening next weekend that we want to mention. Shout out to De Colores Radio. I think you're wearing their shirt right now. Am I right?
Oh, fuck yeah. I actually am. Yeah. It's so comfortable.
Shout out to them. We did an episode with them. If you haven't listened to it, put your life together and go listen to it. They kind of started off their pride sort of section of their year. And they're throwing an art show with Mariconex. It's going to be called Orgullekis. And it's going to be in Dallas. So all of you Dallas peeps, go check out the artwork. It's all queer themed. And I think it's going to be fucking dope. Like, they're super stoked about it. And so, yeah, check it out. And I won't be able to make it, unfortunately. But Fried Papita, I'm sure you're going to fucking dip in that shit.
Yes, I am. It's going to be at the Oak Cliff Cultural Center. And do you have the date on you?
I believe it's August 17th. Let me find out.
August 17th. Yeah.
Yep, August 17th. And it's going to be from 7 to 10, free and open to the public. So what the fuck reason do you have to miss out? You need to go to this shit. and meet the peeps, meet Fred Papita, and get Liddy.
Yes, come meet us. It'll be fun, and we get to celebrate being queer in Dallas together and being queer in Oak Cliff. So I will be there. I'll be taking pictures. I will be giving out stickers, so come fuck with us.
For sure, for sure. There's one thing I got to talk to you about.
Oh my God, yes. What?
I'm pregnant. No, I'm just kidding.
I knew it. Is it mine? I think it's mine because, you know, I think that's the way pregnancy works, through distance. No. You know, like, I mail it to you, and then you open it, and then you're pregnant.
That would require homosexual activity, and that's not okay. Straight life, bro. I can't even act straight.
Straight life, bro. Well, I mailed it to you, so therefore, it's done. FedEx. Well, UPS. Fuck.
Okay. Shout out to the postal system. So today, day that this episode comes out is going to be August 9th? Yeah, August 9th. So tomorrow, here's the thing. Tomorrow's my mom's birthday.
Tomorrow's your mom's birthday?
Yeah. Like, not today, tomorrow, but, like, tomorrow when this episode comes out.
When this releases, yeah. Happy birthday, mommy.
And
she's a Leo, too?
She's a Leo, too. There's this thing that happens every single year. Every single year.
Oh.
That where
what could it be?
Where her birthday, it overshadows my birthday. Because my birthday is the day after hers. And
what, you're both Leos again the day after?
Exactly so the tradition is going to continue this year. Her birthday is going to overshadow my birthday. Her fiance is flying me in to Dallas, Texas on her birthday so that we can celebrate her on my birthday, but, you know, like, whatever.
Oh my God,
this is a yearly thing. Last year they straight up they did a dinner party for her on my birthday for her.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I remember that, dude. It's, oh my God.
So we're continuing the tradition, and that's my surprise for you, is that I will be in town for us to record face to face.
We'll be face to face. Oh my God. She's gonna be in town, you guys.
So I don't know what I'm doing that weekend in detail yet, but Dallas people,
we're going out. That's what's happening. We're going out.
Yeah, Dallas people, hit me up. Like, I'll be out and about, you know, doing shit, getting drunk. If you know some good bottomless mimosa place in Dallas, let me know. Hit the DMs, MYT Panda, CYC Podcast on Instagram and Twitter.
We should go to, like, Anvil Pub. I got really drunk there all the time for brunch, although I've only been twice.
We'll see.
Their brunch is nasty, right? But them drinks keep coming. They make up for it.
Nice. So yeah, that's my surprise for you, and it'll be fun.
You'll be, like, in person, the real deal. I don't have to mail you anything now. I'll shake your hand and you'll be pregnant.
That's how it works. Exactly.
Yeah, that's how it works, you guys. We just shake hands and, or, like, no, we fist bump.
Yeah.
Bam.
And then you do the little fireworks. That's
explosion. Exactly. And then that's exactly it. Yep, it's done. She's pregnant. She's having my child.
Done.
I'm excited. What would we name our child?
Sick. Like CYC, sick.
Sick. I like that. Sick. It's our child. Sick child.
Sick is already our child. CYC is our a product of both of us.
We're co-parenters, you know. We just, you know, we shook hands, we decided to have a baby, and it's long distance, but we're making it work. We just mail our baby to each other.
Jeez. Well, no, we
responsible parents.
We just upload it to Google Drive.
I would be the dad. I claim it already. I'd be the dad because I feel like you're more nurturing, and I'm more like, where am I?
Okay, what year?
You're like, here, hold the baby, and I'm like, okay.
What year are we living in that you think that one can be the dad and the other one can't be the dad? We can both be the dad. It's 2018.
This is 2018. We're both fathers, but I'm like the clueless one that you're like, here, hold the baby, and I'm like, where am I? What is the baby?
And I'm the one who's like, I have a trust fund set up.
And I'm like, cool, all right, what day is it? Like, I wish I was exaggerating, but I'm not, and I'm I apologize to Maite every time for dealing with me. All of my tweets where I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm a human, those are for Maite, because I'm always like, I don't know what is going on right now.
Jeez. So. Okay.
And she knows it. She knows it. Look at her face. She's like, yeah, you don't know what's going on ever.
It's okay. I have a calendar. It's very organized, and I make it happen. So yes. Let's move into this episode. I'm actually really excited to listen to this episode. Mostly because I'm a little old school and I kind of, you know, spent a lot of time studying like Brokeback Mountain, which is like a time period piece from Ang Lee. And I spent a lot of time watching The L Word because I'm a lesbian. And they kind of have these what came after ended up being the two topics that you talked about with the very lovely Richard.
Oh. I love you, Richard. You're the best. Thanks for being on the show. And honestly, Taurus Capricorn energy for life.
Okay.
You're like, I don't care. Okay.
Leo squad. But yeah, I'm excited to listen to it. So let's get into it. And I want to hear about these things because this is the first time that I have no idea anything about these pieces. And I'm excited to hear if you guys can convince me. Can we convince our listeners? I don't know. Let's find out.
Hopefully we can convince our listeners to watching it. Because I think they're both very interesting. And you don't have to be queer to like them. You know, you can just like them as a human. So.
Right on. All right. I'm going to do some Babelito style transition music.
Do it. Welcome back to Cabronas y Chingonas. Today we have a very special episode. We have Lynn Slangen, SZA Stanin, Ketronana Fan, always cool, always calm, Richard!
How's it going?
Thanks so much for being here today. So, welcome to the show. I want to let the listeners know what's your preferred pronoun, your star sign, and what's one thing that you fuck with right now?
My pronouns are he, him, his. My star sign is Taurus. And just a quick sec about that. Just Cynthia just like read me like a book. Pravita just read me like a book earlier. Just like told me everything that I was like, what I'm about, how you're feeling. This is what you are. I'm just like, yep.
I told him his moon sign, you guys. What's your moon sign?
What was it?
You have a Cancer moon.
Cancer moon, there you go. I'm still like blown away about it. And something that I'm fucking with right now. What am I fucking with right now?
Food, TV, candy.
TV, I was fucking with The Handmaid's Tale.
Ooh.
That was really good. Really? What am I listening to a lot right now?
Yes, because I love your music taste. He's like always jamming. I mean, come on, he's a SZA fan as well. So obviously he's already like number one in my book. Ooh,
well, you know what I'm fucking with right now? What? The new Sophie album.
Really?
Yes.
I have not listened.
You should really listen to it. It is really good. What's good on there? It's a little more out there, like as far as like the sound and music. A lot of people make fun of her because it sounds like a lot of pots and pans. But no, I'm here for it. I'm here for the noise. I'm here for the chaos.
I'm always down to hear noise. What else? What's one thing I'm fucking with? It's that Empress of and Amber Mark.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm really fucking with Amber Mark right now. Her like EP Conexión, I fuck with that. That's my shit.
It's good.
Yes, I need to check that out. You gotta go listen to it. It's everything. Yeah. So before we get into like the longest conversation about music, I just want to give a quick shout out because today's episode is all thanks to our Patreon supporter, Aaron. This episode is for you. Thank you so much. Without your support, we wouldn't be able to have this episode. So thank you so much. Love you. And so today we're going to be flipping things. Today we're going to be covering God's Own Country and HBO's now canceled Looking.
Womp womp.
Womp womp womp. Which means we'll be fangirling about Raul Castillo for about half an hour.
Yep.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm excited.
I love
Let's
him.
Let's do it.
Oh, he's so perfect.
Team Richie.
Team Richie forever.
Forever.
Team Raul Castillo forever.
Forever.
And I thought it'd be really important to combine these two modern depictions of like queer love and romance. Because I feel like they're doing a really important thing with gender representation and masculinity. And I thought they were both very interesting when it came to either maybe internalized homophobia or internalized like femme phobia.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, and that's a really serious thing in, you know, queer men and queer women, the queer community in total. I think it's still dealing and struggling with identifying and empowering their femme, like, their femme people.
Femme people. They've done a lot for the community, and they still are at the bottom of, like...
And they are everything. Like, they are
everything. They've done everything for us. Yes. We wouldn't be where we're at right now if it weren't for femme
people.
Trans people.
Femme presenting people, trans women of color, like, they're the reason we're, like, in this room right now together, like, two queer brown people and gender, like, you're not gender fluid, but you give no fucks about gender, Joe. Shout out to Joe. Say hi, Joe.
Hi, everybody.
So today I wanted to start with God's Own Country. It was released in 2017. It's directed by Francis Lee. It came out the day Brexit was announced, the day right after Brexit was announced, excuse me. And that's important and valuable because there is a character in God's Own Country who is an immigrant. And they do show a lot of the xenophobia and hatred that is still involved for someone who is still European, but not the right kind of European. Yeah. So I think that's a really interesting thing. And for us to not just think of xenophobia, hatred, and fascism is limited to the United States. It's everywhere right now. It's the entire world is experiencing globalized fascism. And I thought that was an interesting thing to talk about and bring up because of everything that's happening today. So quickly, I guess I maybe want to give like a plot synopsis. Is there anything that kind of stood out other than the immigrant story in God's Own Country for you? What's one thing you maybe liked about it?
I think I just liked how I did like that it have that it. I don't want to spoil it. Can I spoil it?
Yeah, it's old. It came out. Y'all just go watch this. It's as old, and if not, you're looking to learn.
Yeah. So what I did enjoy about this movie is that most gay films either end very sad or very tragic. This you at one point thought it was going to end very like sad and like in a bad note, but it actually turned out being like a good happy ending. Which Rare. I was excited about.
So fucking crazy, you guys. Like, that deserves a Jamaican air horn. Like, because that's fucking wild. Like, it didn't end in tragedy.
It didn't.
Shout out to Not. Like, and when you're watching it, an interesting thing about the film is that it's set in, like, Northern England, modern day. And it's set where most people are ignored and most queer people don't really get that kind of shine really out there. Don't
know. Would you say it's, like the countryside?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would say. It's Northern England countryside.
Countryside, yeah.
And it's like a sheep farmer. Yeah. And you get to see like agricultural queers.
Mm-hmm.
Say, what? We farm too? Yep. Okay, we out here. So I thought that was really special and important because, okay, you know, eye roll, they're both white. This is something to know, but know that one of them at least is an immigrant and doesn't look as white as the other.
Yes. Do you think... that's why he would get a lot of hassle throughout there was a certain scene when he was at the bar and the guy, the older gentleman, what did he do?
Spit I think he like threw a peanut at him and then he like called him some kind
like
of
like a slur.
Oh, gypsy. Oh, he was getting called gypsy throughout because there are two characters. The lead is white and the other lead is an immigrant from Romania named, Georgi.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even when they first meet each other, white boy, I have a thing of not remembering white men's names. It's what fine. I do.
Yeah, same.
Fuck them. he called Georgi gypsy, and the first thing he does, he's like, fuck you, that's what you're not gonna do, don't call me gypsy.
He said, don't call me that.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, my bad.
Yeah.
He's like, you are cute, so I changed my mind.
Yeah.
And I guess I really... my only problems and the things that I didn't like about this, of course, were things that we ignore in like our queer community is it's not even dislikable. It's just something that is very real in a community, and it's just kind of like the internalized femphobia,
mm-hmm.
and which I do want to get to that because the main character is kind of like an idiot. He's like this regular white boy who just kind of drinks his like life away because... he's a farmer, and I don't know if he's, like, found peace with that. I don't know if he's, like, accepted it.
Yeah, it's from what I got from the film, it seems like he doesn't like doing what he does, and especially because of the state that his, I'm assuming it's his dad is in, and I feel like that work fell on him because of that. Because at one point, I think he runs into his ex-girlfriend?
His ex-homegirl. I would say his ex-homegirl. So the main character is a farmhand, or the only farm person, agricultural person, farmer? What is the right word for that? He's the only farmer on his little farm. His father is disabled, and his grandmother's way too old to be working that hard on a farm.
Yeah.
So it's just him doing all of this labor, and they have to hire a farmhand to help them, and it happens to be old, fine-ass, cute-ass, gentle Georgi.
He is fine.
He's fine.
He really is fine.
He's a good-looking man. And and he's, I think he's just, like, dealing with the fact that his father is, like, he's going through a really stressful point in his life.
Where yes.
His father's disabled, and he has all of this responsibility now for a 24-year-old? Mm-hmm. That's a lot to handle for someone. He goes into the town, and he sees, like, his old homegirl from high school, who he used to kick it with, mm-hmm.
And I think she's gone off to, like,
university,
school, right?
School, and she's only coming back to, like, slum it. Mm-hmm. I think he insinuated that. And he seemed really resentful of his place in society. And then Georgi comes around and changes everything.
Yeah.
He's the highlight of the film, and he's the immigrant. So let's just keep talking about him. So what's another...
I kind of want to go back to what we were talking about, like him not being happy. So he's mm-hmm. being him being not happy goes into him drinking a lot.
Yes.
And just having hooking up. But not really having that connection. At one scene, he was hooking up with another gentleman, and he was not like, hey, do you want to go out for a drink? He was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, he's like, no. I don't do feelings. Yeah. I don't feel. And that's like, that's cool and all, but you don't have to, that's not how you can maneuver in your life.
To
be completely closed off to like all human connection. And that's where he was at the beginning of this film, for like half of it.
Yeah.
Until he meets Georgi, who... Fuck that. He's so gentle. And
he
I think,
really is, yeah.
I think what helps them bond and what helps kind of break away the bullshit between the main character and our beautiful Georgi is that Georgi's like kind of began to open him up to saying, you know, farm life isn't bad. He goes in showing him, wow, this is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And he's been taking it all for granted. Yeah. You know, like taking care of animals is beautiful. Taking care of the land is beautiful. What we do is essential to
in his homeland. He grew up in a farm. He mentioned it. Yeah.
And then him going over there and kind of, he just like brought so much life to the like other character. Like
he
reminded him of his place and where they were supposed to be and that it wasn't bad. Yeah. And that was so beautiful to me.
Yeah. It was like the White family had like this big rainy cloud, just like rain pouring. And then he came in and just like sunshine.
And you know what's a fun thing I learned about Georgi's character is the director made sure he's like an audiophile, like he's really into sound. So what he did for Georgi is that anytime he went in, he put in a very particular like wind noise. Because you know, did you notice that this whole movie was like silent?
Yeah, there was no music.
No music.
Which I kind of enjoyed.
Yes.
I don't like cheesy background music. It kind of like it kind of like kills the
it
movie.
It detracts
for me sometimes.
From the emotion.
Yes.
And in this one, he said that he just put particular bird sounds, particular wind sounds. So anytime you saw him on screen, that sound came with him. And it was just in the background playing lightly. And
the sound of happiness.
Yes.
The sound of hope.
The sound of hope. And I thought that was so special. And because they weren't just showing a character who was an immigrant, who was a farmer, and also queer. They were showing a man who wasn't scared of his sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
He was very sensitive, and he was very caring and nurturing in a way that I think John, that's actually his name, wow, white boy named John. John
name.
Is the main character. He begins to show John that sensitivity and gentleness are things that all men are capable of, and it has nothing to do with, like, how masculine you are.
He seems very comfortable in his own skin, yes, for sure.
For sure. There's a very, very intimate scene between them in this... farmhouse when they were camping,
mm-hmm.
where he opens up John to being sensitive, to not being in control all of the time. Because they're in their first encounter, it was Georgi who took control, but it was very gentle.
Yeah.
And I think, and you see John in that like scene start to like pull back the layers and you're like,
you kind of see like the gears like just like spinning. It's like, you know, I can pretty much be myself with him.
Yes. He's like, oh, I don't have to be a macho asshole.
Yeah.
Like, I can be myself and I can be gentle.
It kind of seems like that chip got off his shoulder a little bit, you know, like he wasn't so as negative. He was like kind of enjoying what he was doing because he had help and he kind of had him help him out.
And he had him showing him like, wow, you can be queer. You can be masculine looking, but you don't have to be
asshole.
That machismo bullshit doesn't have to follow you. I thought that was very, very interesting and very special in that moment. I was just like, wow, I got very emotional. Like, this movie made me so happy because, again, we deal so much with queer pain and we're thinking, you know, this movie's so serious, it's so desolate in this farm country, they're just alone, there's no music. We're thinking, oh, fuck. Something's like, bad's gonna happen. It's gonna be Broke Down Mountain again.
Yeah, it's kind of like too good to be true.
Yes.
Yes.
And it wasn't.
And it wasn't, no.
It wasn't. It was so beautiful. And if you guys are not into queer, like if you're into like something that's a little bit more serious, but much less to do with, I don't know, modern day society, I think it's very important to look at people outside of us. It's still human, it's still interesting, and it's farmers, but fuck it. Like, they're in love.
They're in love.
I want to see more farm people or farmers, people in the country in love, because those stories are just as valuable as our stories with people, city slickers, you know?
Yeah. They don't have everything else going on, like the chaos of the city, and like, for not necessarily friends, but like, you know, like everyday things.
And that actually, that made it so much better, didn't it? Like, it cut away the bullshit.
It's more focused,
Yes, it was more focused.
And the storyline.
And they I heard they spent like actual, maybe like a month training and working at a farm. So all those scenes where you see them taking the sheep out of the cow or like the cows out of the sheep, they actually know how to do that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God.
It looks intense.
It's super intense.
I wonder if they really use they did?
Yeah, they really did.
Oh, awesome.
They actually were helping. They went to a specific farm because the director is from agricultural. That's his life.
Okay.
He's from there. So his dad knows all the farmers, and they just went to one of their homies and was like, hey, can we film the sheep give birth? And they know how to do it now.
Oh, shit.
Is that cool?
And I wonder if the actors were trained for that also.
They were.
Because they were like in there. They were doing everything.
They spent like maybe a month or two learning how to do all of that. They really did. They worked from 6 in the morning to 6 at night.
Oh,
and they were only all the clothes they wore were just from the local thrift shops.
Okay.
Everything was as authentic as it could be.
Helping the animals give birth.
Yes.
Cleaning the shit.
Yes. White dirty, boys working. I'm cool with it. I'm cool with watching white boys labor. I'm okay. But yeah, so on that note, I think we've covered basically how I feel and how the important messages of like queer love, fuck queer pain.
Yeah.
And another interesting thing I saw was that it wasn't really any kind of homophobia against them. Did you notice that?
That, you know what? Yeah.
They didn't have any, dude. Like, they were just kind of like, everyone in the country was just like, oh, we don't like him because he's an immigrant, but not because he was gay.
I think that was a bigger, like the bigger issue, I guess, for the rest of the people in the town. Yeah, for sure.
And I was like, oh shit, this is like a super like now kind of movie.
Yeah.
Because the homophobia wasn't even a thing. It was just like, no, we just hate him because he's different from us, but not because he's queer. And I was like, what?
Because even John's friend, she came with a friend, and that's when John hooked up with the other friend.
Mm-hmm.
But he, I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
And no one really
gave him hassled him or, you know.
I thought that was really nice. Yeah. I was like, no queer pain. The pain is all internal. The pain is all just about whether or not you can handle, like, your sensitivity.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, like, men being sensitive, not being assholes? Wow.
Yeah.
Shocking.
You know one thing that stood out to me? Mm-hmm. That when they actually, like, got physical and then after that, you hardly ever see, they had full frontal nudity.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. That's one thing that stood out to me major.
You're like, what? It's happening. I didn't even notice, but yeah, I'm a queer woman. I didn't even notice. I was like, oh, their feelings. They feel things. But yeah, you're right. That was full frontal nudity, and it was like como si nada.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's really special because it wasn't sexualized.
It was, yeah.
It was just like, boom, this is just love. This is just people. And I was like, same, bitch.
Yeah.
Same.
This is. I remember when I was watching the film, I was like, folding clothes, and then I looked up, I was like, oh, okay. And then I went back into, like, folding clothes again.
That's like a fun surprise while you're folding clothes. Yeah. You're like, oh, hey.
Hey. What's up?
I'm more interested in this movie. That's hilarious. But yeah, so I really like this, and I like to compare it to HBO's Looking because it kind of deals with the same kind of, like, I don't know, femphobia as well.
Yeah.
And again, the most problematic characters are the white cis males.
The white characters, yeah.
Yeah, and our angel, Raul Castillo, Richie, in HBO's Looking, is the reason why we're here, why we're talking, because he's amazing.
Team Richie.
Team Richie forever, y'all.
Forever, for life.
Watch HBO's Looking. So I like to compare them just because of that, and to go back to God's Own Country, I guess, to finish it up, because I'm kind of bouncing around. What would you rate God's Own Country? I would give it, like, 4 pan dulces, just because there aren't, like, queer Latinos in it, you know?
Yeah.
But it does get, you know, a 4 concha rating because there are, you know, immigrants. They are dealing with internalized femphobia. They're dealing with kind of finding their sensitivity. I thought that was all really beautiful and nuanced and so 4. But what would you give it?
I'd probably give it the same rating as, again, the same reasons that you're giving it. But I feel like I kind of enjoyed it because it touched on, like, not being happy and leaning towards some kind of a vice as far as, like, drinking, or some people, like, especially in the gay community, if you're not out to your family, you can go into, like, drinking and drugs and things like that.
That's so real.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even think about that because I feel like a lot of queer people kind of deal with, you know, like you said, like,
especially in the Latinx families. Yeah, for sure. Big time.
Really? Yeah, that's true. I went through a little crazy phase too. Yeah. Yeah. Did you go through a crazy phase?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I can go back and, like, pinpoint it. I stopped when I was 21. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Started when I was, like, 16, when I found out I was queer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I found out when I was a little bit younger, but in high school, I would, like, go out and get drunk. And, you know, it's, like, one of those things that you felt like you didn't have to, like, put this cover up, but, like, you know?
You could let it go.
Yeah.
For at least you weren't, it felt like you weren't even gay anymore.
Yeah.
Once you were, like, fucked up. You're just like, I'm just human. Everyone's just drunk. Or
yeah, like, the real you came out, you know?
And you could be free. And that movie did do that.
Yeah.
And
that was one of the things that really stood out to me.
And no one ever, like, talks about that. Like,
no.
How self-hatred really leads to kind of, like, fucking self-violence. You know, killing yourself slowly in some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. And being depressed and dealing with that anxiety and his depression. And that's so real.
Yeah. I mean, I know I've read a lot of, like, articles and stories of, like, how people, gay men, and specifically, I guess, don't come out to their families or can't come out to their families because of whatever reason. And they go into this dark route of, like, drinking and drugs and anonymous sex, you know?
And it's, it, like, keeps going.
And keeps going and keeps going. Yeah. Until you, like, I don't know.
Oh, that's so real. And that was, like, the first half of that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And did HBO's Looking kind of did the same, didn't it? But not for different reasons, not because they didn't come out, but because of their internalized bullshit.
Yeah.
You know? And so I guess let's go into HBO Looking. It is an HBO show that got canceled. I don't know. Would you say it had good reasons to get canceled?
No, it didn't. No, you know why? Because Girls was on at the same time and it was not getting good ratings.
Oh my God, I roll.
And that show kept on going and going.
It should have never started. He's like, Girls, what kind of bitches? They should have been called White Girls and been kept it real.
Yeah.
White Girls. I used to watch, like, Anthropology Study, like, ooh, what is it White Girls doing now? You know? But anyways, fuck them.
So no good reason to get canceled because that show was still on.
Oh,
and it stayed on.
Fuck that. It's 2 seasons on HBO, and they have a movie that ended it all out. They tried to, you know, close all
to
the
wrap everything
loose
up,
ends.
Yeah.
It was a lot of loose ends.
Yeah.
And I guess for HBO's Looking, I would say, I think it got canceled because of all the bad press it was getting by other white gays.
Yes.
And I know that because of our Twitter, that Twitter that we follow.
Yes.
But it's called HBO Looking Now or something. Like, shout out to you guys. If you guys want any information on HBO Looking, just follow Bring Back Looking HBO. They're at Looking Forever. And that's EVAH. So go follow them. They're the shit. If we get something wrong, please correct us. You guys are the shit. I don't know if you're ran by one person or several, but you're anonymous and we love you. so... this is, it's set about a queer men in their 20s trying to find love in San Francisco, gentrified San Francisco.
Yep.
The lead character's name is Patrick. He's this white boy from Colorado. And I think maybe that's why people were giving it such, you know, bad press, because no one cares about a white boy from Colorado.
Yeah.
Cis white boy.
From what I remember also, like, the bad press, they would compare it a lot to Queer as Folk.
Oh, you know, I've never seen it.
I've seen a couple episodes here and there.
What would you...
I wasn't really crazy about it.
No.
Myself. It's very white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know it's in the UK.
The original was in the UK.
Oh.
Yes.
There's a Queer Folk that's like American?
Yes.
Like, they did an American movie?
So the original was in the UK, and I think it was only on for one season. And actually, the main, one of the main characters in the UK one was in that FX show, one with the bikes. What is it called?
Sons of Anarchy?
Yes.
He was in it?
Yes.
Charlie Hunnam?
I think that's his name.
Charlie Hunnam, the shirtless guy in Pacific Rim.
Yes.
Wait, he played a queer man?
Yes.
And Queer as Folk? Like, yeah. A queer little kid, apparently.
I want to double check that.
Yeah, because I'm like,
Yeah.
What?
Charlie Hunnam, yeah, he was in it.
My mind is blown right now. That is so cool. I like him now. Can I like? I? You know what? I like him. He's okay.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's the
It was only on for two seasons and they canceled it. Yeah,
just like HBO Loki.
Yep, there you go.
Got canceled.
But the American one went on for a while.
Really?
Yeah, it went on for a good more than two seasons. I know that for sure.
God, I don't. But what did you think of it? You said it wasn't that good. It was really white.
It was,
what else?
It was very white. Yeah.
I mean, like HBO is looking well.
It was very, like, also, like, there was a lot of sex in it, a lot of drug use. I mean, which isn't, like, bad, but I feel like, I think that's, from what I've read when Looking was on, that's why it was getting a lot of bad rep, because I think it wasn't like Queer Folk when there was a lot of sex.
Oh, because,
because I think at that time...
The party scene was different.
Yes.
And being queer was different.
Yep, yep.
No, yeah. Because the thing about HBO Looking is that Patrick, the lead character, is like a computer developer. Like a, he works for like a game company.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he's a computer developer, something in IT. And he's kind of like nerdy. He's kind of quiet. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually really appreciated that he wasn't a caricature of himself.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he was just a human who was queer.
Yep.
And... that was along with him and his friends who were also kind of just human and queer. Like, it dealt with, like, aging in the queer community. Ageism is a very real thing in the queer community. You know, once you hit, like, a certain age, no one gives a fuck about you.
Like Dom, would run into that.
Dom was amazing. There's a few good characters. Richie is number one forever, but I think number two for me would be Dom.
Dom, yep.
He's, like, sensitive,
yes.
Nurturing, caring, but also very masculine and comfortable with himself.
Comfortable with himself,
in the way that Patrick and Augustine...
Fuck them. Yeah,
they had a lot of growth they needed to
they
do.
They had a lot of growth. They would usually go up to Dom and like, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? They have a scare. It's like, oh, what do you think I should
Let's
do?
Run to Mama Dom.
Yeah.
Like, he was so good at that because, again, they're playing with this idea of masculinity, of gender representation and expression, and how, like, remember, there's a character, Augustine, who is pretty much a fuckboy the entire first season.
Yeah, he is a piece of shit.
He's a piece of shit. And he's like a caricature. But he's actually, he redeems himself. The writing was really good in this show because second season.
He totally made up for it, I think. Well, at least for me, at least.
Me too, yeah.
He totally switched it up.
And and not just that, I feel like HBO Looking was really good writing because there is showing someone actually like grow and develop. And Augustine dated someone who was positive. And I thought that was so important to show. And I know you had something to say about like, dating in the positive community, and I think it was so amazing and groundbreaking to do it now for us.
Yes, I know. I really liked that they showed Augustine dating Eddie, who was HIV positive, within the gay community, because I know there was like a lot of, I know even now there's a lot of stigma of like, ooh, I don't know if I can date you, or
you
like,
shouldn't be.
Yeah, you shouldn't be. Yeah,
know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As long as you're being careful, you take care of yourself, I think you're good to go. You know, but I think it showed that he was willing and open to learn and understand and actually date him, which is awesome.
And that's such an important thing to show queer
yes.
men do, because you don't want to show us hating each other. Like, that's bullshit. That's not even real, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how it works. And I thought it was really important that they were, like, showing a positive character. Shout out to Recording in the Hood, y'all. Oak Cliff forever. And I thought it was really important they show someone who was positive because they also brought up PrEP.
Yes.
Because no one knows what PrEP is.
No one knows.
And I was like, wait, what? Like, I know what PrEP is as a queer woman. So I'm like, wait, no, no, no. Everyone.
Yeah.
Take PrEP.
I actually, when I was, we took a trip to Austin not too long ago, and we were driving, and we stopped at a gas station, and I was like, oh, I need to take my medicine, and I'm on PrEP, and they're like, they saw me take the pills, it's like, what is that? And I was like, oh, it's PrEP.
You're like, yay, educational hour. Education. And then I feel like that's the best way knowledge gets spread, is just like your friend tells you, and then you're like, oh, wow, cool. And you see it on TV, it gets normalized, because it should be normalized. It should be like a regular thing, and more people should know about it because it's so bad.
Something that Pose did. Sorry, jumping into another
show. No, Pose is amazing. Shout out to Pose.
Pose is amazing, yes. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. It got renewed for a second season.
Yes, awesome. Got renewed. I give India Moore her Emmys and MJ her Emmys.
Yes.
Anyways.
Yes. Something amazing about the show is that halfway through the show, they have a PrEP commercial, which is awesome.
They do.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, like on TV?
Yes.
Oh, I watched it online. Okay.
So do I, but I watched it once live, and they have a commercial for PrEP. And they actually show, like, different people. Like, they have a trans woman. They have a black woman's hetero woman. And then they have, like, different guys as well.
No, and it's something I think the hetero community needs to know about, too. Yeah. Like, it's not just... HIV is for everyone out here. So take your PrEP, because it's also, guess what, for everyone out here.
For everyone, yeah.
You know, and it's. I'm glad that they're showing it. I'm glad that Pose is out here doing this. I'm glad that HBO did the same thing, because those things are just, normalize it, people. And I think that's the best thing media can do, is connect humans to normalize things that, God, they're so fucking real and so average, and it's every day.
Something that I did like is that they also brought up people that weren't too sure about PrEP, kind of like Patty was around the same way.
Mm.
He was giving, what's his name, Richie's boyfriend from the second season? Brady?
The white boy, Brady.
Brady?
Yes.
He was kind of giving him, like, pushback and, like...
Why he
was taking PrEP, yeah. I was like, well, if you use condoms, isn't that the same thing? I was like, well, yeah. PrEP, you take the pill, but you also use condoms, because... there's STDs.
Yeah. Safety.
Safety, yes. Oh, my
God. No, that is really important, because it'll... It's a learning experience for everyone coming into it new, you know, like PrEP is for everyone. I can't stress that. And they should sponsor us, like, at this point, how much we've just
take
like
your PrEP
take
every
your
day.
PrEP, guys, take it every day. I love that. I love that. And they showed a bear. Shout out to bears.
Shout out to Eddie. Like, yes.
Eddie
in general.
Eddie is like one of my favorite characters.
Yes.
He's third.
Maybe, okay. Yes.
Maybe third or second of my favorite characters. Richie, Dom,
Eddie,
and then the rest of
the
them.
The rest, yeah.
Oh, God. They're messed.
I guess Augustine can be fourth, and then, like, for me, I guess Patty would be next, and then Kevin last.
I know, another interesting thing I really liked about HBO? Another thing I liked about Looking was that Augustine kind of brought up his, like, I don't know, his classism and his colorism bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Eddie was meeting... our lovely, lovely Richie, Raul Castillo's character, he kind of treated him like bullshit. Like, he kind of acted like he was better than him, because I don't know from what country Agustin is from. I think South American.
Agustin, I think what I looked up, he is from Cuba?
Cuba. He's Cuban-American.
Because he's coming from, like, Florida, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Coral Gables is where, I guess, the character is from.
The character.
Which is, like... Like, rich neighborhood.
Rich Cubans. Like, because, I mean, the first people that are able to immigrate outside of, out of Cuba were really, really fucking wealthy people,
mm-hmm.
because they weren't trying to get killed by the revolution.
Yeah.
So they were oppressed, but they weren't really, and they had enough money to leave.
They had the upper hand in Cuba, I guess,
They had
right?
the upper hand, and they left because they had the ability to leave, unlike everyone else later. But he really brought up a lot of that, like... you know, internalized bullshit in the Latinx community, you know, like your colorism, where you are in society, middle class, versus Raul, who was kind of like, you know, like us. He was regular. He's a regular-ass dude.
Yeah.
Like, he wore, like, snapbacks.
Yeah.
That's how we got introduced to him.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's why what I liked about his character so much, he was just very laid back. He did not take himself very seriously compared to Augustine. He was just like this... I don't know. It's just like,
hipster.
I seemed like him living where he came from, or him growing up the way he did, he assimilated to, I guess, in a way, white culture.
Yeah. white friends only.
Yes, and, like, white friends only, yeah.
It's a very Latinx thing to do if you came over here and you're upwardly mobile to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You stay within that crowd and you kind of... It was a lot of, like, him being, like, middle class, I believe.
Yeah.
And Raul Castillo's character, Richie, not being middle class. Him being, like, normal. Like, us, you know? And so... I thought that was a really interesting thing to show, was the difference between those characters and where they come from, and how you can still be, you can be Latino, but you have nothing in common.
Yeah.
You're not from the same place, you don't, you know, and that's the thing about the Latino community, Latinx community. It's so huge, and we're so different, and we can sometimes not fuck with each other, you know, and it's white passing of the scene was one of the main things I saw that I was like, this is really true to our community.
Yeah.
So, and so real.
One of the things that really stood out to me when they met in the park the first time, in Dolores Park, is that he was asking him about his necklace because Patty had one.
Oh, yeah. Escapular.
Yes. Yeah. And he was like, what is that? I was like, oh, you've never seen it? You don't know what it is? He was like, no, not where I'm from. I've never seen nothing that I know. No one that I know has that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of those things that stood out to me as well.
Yeah, because it's really telling of his identity and his place in society versus... Raul Castillo's character, and I thought that was like a learning experience, or maybe it went right over the heads of all the white viewers that saw that. It could have just gone over their heads, but I thought it was a very nice detail for us, for Latinx people to see, and we understood it. We saw and we understood that, and we knew what it meant. And but Patty saw that as well, and Patty was like, "Why are you being an asshole to my boyfriend?" You know?
Yeah.
And
you know what? I kind of wish they would have fought. I wish Patty would have just let them fight.
I would too, because Raul Castillo's character would have beat his ass.
His ass,
Like, Richie's from, like, the hood of somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's from the Bay?
He was the Bay Area. The Bay Area, yeah, outside, maybe like an hour away
Yeah.
But yeah, I would have loved to see him beat his ass.
He was about to get those hands.
Catch all them hands. Those big, strong, muscle hands,
Muscular hands.
Muscular hands. I want to lead back to Raul Castillo's character, because a really interesting fun fact, and super relevant to today, is that Raul Castillo... is friends with Tanya Soracho currently, and she wrote for HBO's Looking, and I believe she wrote for his character. And she wrote that episode where they go back. There's an episode where Patrick and Richie go back to his hometown, and they meet his family, and they meet his cousin. His prima.
Ceci.
And she happens to be Tanya Soracho. And I'm like, that's so cool to now see her being showrunner for Vida, and seeing Raul Castillo, he's now going to be in We the Animals. And I guess I want to go to him because he's the centerpiece of like what we love about HBO's Looking. And tell me anything about him, what you found relatable.
I found relatable that he was a Latino Mexican character. I think what I identified a lot is that I'm a very calm person. He was a very calm person. But when he needed to, like, speak up, he spoke up. And that's something that I really
admired,
yes.
Connected to,
yes. What was another thing? Also, him... I guess, there was a specific scene that him and Patty, when they went on their date, and Patty skipped work. When they went to the...
Such a cute scene. They went to see the curandera. Yeah, and that was too real, because I was like, oh my god, he's explaining like a curandera to a white boy right now. This is too real to see on screen.
That also being said, have you noticed like some of like the microaggressions that Patty did with Richie, like as far as like, oh, where's your family from? It's like, oh, they're from here. It's like, no, where are they really from?
My god.
Or like, do you bring your own eggs? Or when he couldn't say Ceci's name, Ceci.
You're like, Ceci, bro. It's real easy. and a lot of the shame that he associated with Richie's character, remember? There's an episode where his sister's like having a dinner, or someone's getting married, I think.
Patty's sister.
Uh-huh. And his date is Raul Castillo's character, and Patty has so much anxiety over taking Richie, his like Mexican boyfriend from the hood, to his like... super waspy ass family, that he ends up freaking out on him. And Raul Castillo did the good thing, because he loves himself. Okay, he said, fuck you, bouncing.
I'm out,
bitch. I'm gonna smoke a blunt and see you when I see you. And I thought that was really important.
You know, I think one of the things that could relate with Patty was like throughout the first season, and then I think Dom pointed this out to him in the very first episode, is that when he dates people, he thinks about who his mom, what his mom is,
oh,
and I
that's
think,
right. Oh God, yes.
And I think being me being Mexican, I feel like that's something that what I think as well when I date someone's like, well, what is my
what
mom
would
gonna
my
think?
Mom, yeah.
Is my mom gonna approve? Like, what is, you know, it's that's one of those things.
That's very real. Right? That's really cool. Joe's nodding his head like same.
And
that's
I think
really
it's pretty
cute.
Much with anyone really. Is like, if I date this person, like, can I date
what's
her
my
mom?
Gonna, what's my
mom?
Waspy ass mom gonna think? That's yeah. That for his situation. And that's very true. Like, you know, he's like, he's thinking about, well, will he fit in? But you shouldn't be asking yourself that question. You should be like, fuck it.
Yeah.
This is my boyfriend. He fits in because I love him. Story.
Which is what finished. I liked about Richie, because Richie did not give a shit. He was like, I'm going to bring him. I'm going to bring whether you like it or not, which is awesome.
He was so comfortable in himself. And the way he presented his masculinity, I think, was so important.
Yes.
Because he was like, he presents as very masculine. You know, he has a beard. He wears snapbacks. He's very comfortable in his identity. But at the same time, he didn't have any problem bottoming versus, you know, Patty had a lot
yes.
of issues. Do you,
yes.
do you remember that?
Again, going back to femphobia and, like, not being comfortable, like, bottoming, because that seems a little bit more feminine. There's mm-hmm. a lot of shaming in that in the gay community.
Because remember, they brought out Ross and Rachel. And he's like, oh, well, I guess I'm more Rachel. Aren't you Rachel? And mm-hmm. he's like, who cares who's Rachel? We can both be Rachel.
Yeah.
And it's like,
another thing I like about that specific scene was that Richie said, it was like, I don't like labels. Labels are just for like the apps and social media. I was like, why limit yourself? You can experience a little bit of everything, which
versus a thing.
Yes.
Versus a thing, guys.
You can do whatever you want with, you know?
It doesn't matter out in these streets. It can be whatever you want.
I think that's one thing that really stood out to me from that scene and from that episode for sure.
It was like
I think
so
these,
real.
Yeah, people are like, especially in the gay community, are really caught up with these labels. It's like, just go with, I don't know, go with the flow, you know?
Exactly. Like, it doesn't really matter who's femme, who's butch. It doesn't fucking matter. Live your life, experience anything you mm-hmm. want, you know? And that's more real and more, I think queer people kind of, it's a mixture. Like, there's like maybe half of us, I'm just generalizing, I don't know the fucking percentages, guys, but there's like a portion of us that believe that, you know, fuck it, feel everything. And there's another portion of us that's still like wanting to be accepted by society, wanting to fit in, wanting to believe in these gender roles. And it's like, why believe in gender roles at all when your relationship doesn't reflect anything in society? Nothing in society looks like this. You're allowed to make your own rules.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to ignore the straights, because who the fuck cares? Like, they have nothing to do with
nope,
what we do
yeah,
ever.
Yeah.
So, and if anything, they just impose their roles on everyone else. Like, you know, these gender norms of femme and mask, and
yeah,
who gives a fuck, right?
Yeah. I think for me personally, I think this year has been the first year that I've really gotten comfortable with like my queerness and just like, mm-hmm. as far as like dressing as well. I know I've noticed a lot of that. It's like, can I wear this? Is this going to be like, mm-hmm. I think last year
is
I was
too femme.
Too mm-hmm. femme, yes. Or mm-hmm. am I trying too hard? And this year has been the first year that I'm just like, I'm just going to wear the fuck I want.
Exactly.
I don't give a shit.
Yes. And the gender expression is so real, because like, although I have long hair, I don't give a fuck. Like, I walk around not giving a fuck about my gender. Like, mm-hmm. And it confuses me when I go try on clothes, because I'll buy something from the men's section and I go to the nearest dressing room thinking I can change there. And like, all the guys turn around at me and like, oh, you can't change here. And I'm like, why? Are you going to go in the room with me? Are you going to be in there changing? What the fuck's the problem, bro? I'm not going to go into your room. I don't give a fuck what you wear.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Do you?
Yeah. Dressing rooms are so weird for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you, bitch, am I going to come out here butt ass naked and ask for you to look like, you know, a button like shirt, bro? No. Like,
no.
So, you know, like, I really get it. And I really think that that's so important to show on screen, is that like, you're allowed to be whatever the fuck you want to be, and like, fuck gender's idea of masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Richie is doing. I think his sensitivity is so important to show a Latinx man to be sensitive, because of the
machismo
in our community.
Yes.
Is so real. It's some bullshit.
Do you think, mm-hmm. and this, I didn't realize it until I watched the show several times already, and I did not realize it until maybe not too long ago. Do you think he's only dated white men?
Oh my God, same as fuck. I was like, wait a minute, I see a trend here. He only dates white boys, and I don't like this.
Because he dated Patty,
mm-hmm.
he dated Brady, and then when they went to go visit his OSS, she brought up the white boy in the Vespa.
Oh, a white boy in a Vespa.
There you go.
See, yeah, he has a thing for white boys. Oh, and I did want to bring that up, because do you feel like that's a super real thing? Because even, what's his name from the internet? Steve
yes,
Lacey. I heard that he also only dates white men. And you know what he is? Did you hear his excuse on it?
No.
He said something like, oh, I'm from Compton and, you know, I only see black men as my brothers and I couldn't be attracted to them. And I was like, fuck you. That's bullshit. And how real is that in your community?
I will say this. Mm-hmm. I related with Richie at that point because I think from your own community, your Latinx community, you get a lot of rejection, a lot of machismo, and you can't be femme, you can't cry, you have to be tough.
That's from, like, trauma.
Yes, from like either your dad, your brothers, your uncles, your cousins.
That's deep.
So that's very rooted into someone, and I know it was very rooted into me because when I first came out, I was like, I don't see myself with like a Latino or a black person. I want to be with someone, I guess, in a way, with a white person. I kind of had to like go into
unlearn that trauma.
Yes.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God, guys! Like my mind exploded right now. I'm like, oh my God, it's trauma. Yes. I get it.
You have to unlearn it and really start loving yourself mm-hmm. and being very comfortable in your own skin. Mm-hmm. And then, at least for me, that's how it was.
Okay, Steve Lacey, don't hate you. You just need to go to therapy.
That might be it. That might be the reason. Because who's another one? Tyler, the Creator, was another one, right? That he said.
Probably Frank Ocean. I think he only dates Latino men.
Tyler, yeah.
But Frank Ocean. Shut up. Hey, Richard, hit up Frank Ocean. I think you're his type. You got a chance.
Frank Ocean, where you at?
Yeah. You know,
hey. I'm ready.
Call him Frank Ocean. Raul Castillo. Oh, my God. Although, he's ready, too. Everybody's ready out here for Frank Ocean. Anyways, but that's so crazy. So you think maybe Richie, as sensitive and progressive and well-written as he is, that maybe...
I think that might be one of his flaws, maybe? Mm-hmm. One of his minor flaws?
And that's not really, like... It is a flaw, but it can be worked on, yes. You know? But him and Patty's connection is very real.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Regardless of him just being dating white boys, their connection is real throughout the entire series and even in the movie. Their connection is very real and very gentle.
Mm-hmm.
And the white boy fetish thing. Yeah, that has to end, guys. Like, go to therapy. Yes. Deal with your trauma. Don't hate yourself.
No.
But that's so real. I've noticed that. And people of color and men. People of color. POC, gay, yeah. Queer, POC men. That they do not want to date people of their own ethnicity.
They don't, yeah.
And I'm just like...
They'll go white.
It's bullshit. It's a lot of... But like we just found out, it's just trauma.
Yeah.
It's a lot of trauma. And maybe not all the time. Maybe sometimes they're just assholes.
Yeah.
But wow...
Mind blown.
I learned so much right now. This is really good. This is important, guys.
What I also liked, we keep going to that same episode of where we went back to go see Richie and picking up that truck, whatever. We ran into his other cousin.
Oh, God.
His primo.
That fucking guy.
At the car wash.
Yes, he did.
And he is from, he plays the gay cholo in Quinceañera.
That's him?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay, guys, if you haven't seen Quinceañera, everyone was gay in that movie, basically. The lead girl is a queer woman in real life. The gay cholo primo.
The primo,
Queer tío. Queer tío or primo?
I think primo, yeah.
Primo. Everyone's gay in Quinceañera.
Yeah.
Go back. Like, guys, the shit is the lead. Everyone's gay.
The connection.
Oh, my God. Like, all the Latinos know each other in Hollywood. Yeah. This is... fucked up, but very good.
Is another good movie if you've never seen it. I personally enjoyed it.
I love it. I give that movie like four and a half bandulces. Mm-hmm. I love that movie. Oh, wow. I can't believe we haven't covered it. Okay.
Quinceañera's another one.
Quinceañera's another one, guys. What did you think about that primo? How real was that?
I think it's very real, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I have cousins that are like maybe act the same way or kind of like connect with me the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't react the same way as Richie. I'm just like a bit more relaxed. I don't get, because I noticed Richie got a little defensive.
As he probably should have. Yeah, because he was being kind of an ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what does Primo tell him? He was like...
I think he went
out to him. He says like, don't you work at a hair salon? He's like, I'm a barber.
Barber,
bro.
Yeah.
He's like, chill. Strike I'm a one. Barber.
Strike one.
Strike one. I was like, he called it a fucking salon. Like, fuck you, bro. He's a barber. He can... Queer men can be barbers.
Yeah.
Like, fuck out of here. Misconceptions, especially in San Francisco of all places.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then...
I think he brought up if he was going to go see his dad.
Oh.
And I know Richie mentions that he doesn't have the greatest connection...
To his father.
To his father. The greatest relationship, I would say, yeah.
And do you feel like they kind of, well, from your experience, not from all gay men, just yours, like, what was that kind of like, how did that hit anything correctly or no?
Yes and no. I mean, me and my dad, we get along, we talk, we have, we both love horror movies and we have this weird fascination with like serial killers.
No, that's hilarious.
Yeah. But as far as that, we don't really talk. I talk more to my mom. We communicate a lot more. And I think it's because me and my dad have the same, we're kind of like the same person, very quiet, very calm. And we only speak when we need to. My mom is polar opposite. She'll be talking, outgoing. She'll be like,
oh, and that's what happens. Like,
yeah,
you kind of need someone to bring it out of you. Yeah. And if someone's kind of the same as you, you kind of just kind of stay where you are and you kind of don't move into, let's feel. And you're like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah.
We ain't gonna do that.
Yeah, when I was growing up, I had a bigger connection with my mom than my dad. Mm-hmm. Even still right now, but I wouldn't say like my dad was like homophobic or anything like that, because we've had like, my mom has had several gay friends around and it was just like a normal thing. But yeah, I didn't have that disconnect with my dad, that major disconnect at least. Yeah.
It's more something he probably just doesn't talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel that. I feel that in my soul. So same with my Mexican machismo dad. Same. We don't discuss it. You know, it's just, it is. And we're not, we don't bring it up.
You know, and I wouldn't even say my dad is machismo, because we always say, like, when we leave the house, we're like, okay, love you.
Oh, we're open. Feels.
Yeah. And we didn't really actually start that until maybe like 5 years ago. And it just randomly started. And then when it first started, it just felt
weird.
Odd.
It felt weird. Yeah.
And then it's normal now.
That's so good. Look at that. Mexican men feeling out here, guys. Like, Latinx men are able to feel and be sensitive, and it's okay. Machismo, fuck it. That's so sweet.
Yeah, and when my dad feels, he really feels, he'll he'll let you know,
He'll let you know. That's so important. And to and that's what Richie's character does. He's, like, showing us, like, all these very important things about masculinity and gender and, you know, being verse or not being verse and who gives a fuck, you know? It's so important to us because, you know, we get laid into and we're taught from, like, childhood, you know, boys, girls, this way. And even if it's not your family, it's society telling you, you need to be this way. You have to adhere to these made up rules. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
And you have to, we spend, queer people or people who just know, people who just grow, spend a lot of time having to undo and unlearn that trauma, undo the, everything we were taught in society as children. We have to unlearn it and rethink how we see everything. And I feel like HBO is looking, maybe I just zoned in on that aspect of it. And that's why it meant so much to me, because as someone who doesn't give a fuck about gender, you know, like I say all the time, like, fuck binaries and fuck borders, you know? And I feel like a gender binary is another border. So fuck that. And just because I look femme doesn't mean I feel femme. And just because you say something's masculine doesn't mean I agree with that. Like, I don't give a fuck. You can call me a girl if you want. I don't feel like one and I don't feel like a boy either. I'm just out here a free ass motherfucker living my best life.
There you go.
Overall, what did you think about HBO looking? What did it mean to you?
I will say, when I did not watch the show when it was on. I watched way when it was, like, canceled over. I just randomly started watching it one day. My brother actually watched it when it was on. My brother's gay as well.
Oh, that's lit.
Yeah, yeah. So he was watching. He was like, watch it. You should watch it. You should really need to watch it. It's good. I'm just like, oh, no, I don't know.
You're like, white boys.
Yeah.
Like, gentrified San Francisco.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Not into it.
I started watching it, and I kind of, like, I really didn't relate so much with Patty. I mean, I did in a way, again, with, like,
he's quiet.
He's quiet. Mm-hmm. What is mom, I think, and he has that, like, that going on. But I did connect with Richie a lot more, and I really enjoyed right from the bat from the first season when Patty walked into the, what is it, a train or whatever.
Yeah, on the BART.
Yeah, on the BART. There you go. And then
Richie starts hollering at him. But I was like, smooth.
But you know, that was very different because he seemed very, like, more vocal in that one scene. And then, like, the rest of the show, he was a little bit more laid back.
Well, you know, you gotta reel him in. You gotta catch him. You know, his game was strong. You know, and after that, he's like, "Oh, I got this. I can pull back."
But yeah, I felt that connection with Richie. The more I kept watching the show, I was like, "Yep, yep, check mark. Yeah, I see it. I feel it. I'm there with you.
You're like, yes, Raul Castillo's character. Yes, Richie. Team Richie forever. He's an angel. He's the reason I continue to watch the show. Because although it got canceled, there were all a lot of white boys in it. There's a Latinx character that if they would have made the show about him, probably would still be on.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm biased. You know.
I would totally watch it. If it was just Richie, I'm down.
Richie's adventures. But I would need him to, like, date people of color.
Yeah.
Immediately. Like, quick.
Do you think that the show would have kept going? Like if they didn't, if it never got canceled, do you think Patty wouldn't have ended up with Richie?
Yes. Really? I mean, eventually? in the movie, they basically insinuated they were going to end up together. So I would hope. Or if Richie could do something, like, Richie could do better. Because fuck Patrick. Yeah. Like, he was a dickhead. We didn't even talk about him because he's not... He's just annoying.
Yeah.
He's the Piper.
He's something else.
He's the Piper of this. Like, you know, remember Piper Orange is the New Black? She's completely... Fuck her. That's him of this show. We care about Richie. I think they would have ended up together. The connection was very real, though. Because Richie is very, very loving and nurturing. And he brought out things in Patrick that, like... I think Patrick didn't even know he was. You know, he's like, oh, wow, like... I don't have to be a top all the time. I can be a bottom. I can be first. Like, who cares about my, you know, what other people think of, you know, his gender expression or in private, too. Yeah. So that's very important.
Do you believe, and I read this on Twitter maybe, like, a couple of weeks ago, like, sometimes we go into relationships as therapy, like, to work things out.
Oh, my God. Yes.
And that's I feel like that's what Patty did with Richie. But I kind of also think that Richie kind of did that with Brady to realize that he wasn't in love with him, that he was actually in love with Patrick this whole time.
And Patrick was doing it like, oh, like, what's wrong with my internalized bullshit? Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like, you know, do you want a therapist or a boyfriend? You know, like, like, what? No, you want a boyfriend. You don't want a therapist. Like, go get a therapist, work on yourself, and come back. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's very true. I think a lot of people do go into relationships hoping the other person will fix them. And it's like, no, that's unhealthy. They shouldn't fix you. They should just be along for the ride as you fix yourself. And you guys... work together and just be happy, which is, whoa, what a concept.
Yeah.
And I think that's what most people want, is to just be happy. But everyone carries their own baggage, right?
Yep.
Like, and that's what you see in Patrick. Richie doesn't have that same kind of fucking baggage.
No.
He came into it clean.
Yeah.
And beautiful.
That's what I liked about Richie. He knew what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
He was very vocal.
First date. First they were date. Like, yeah. I want a relationship. I want to commit. And I was like, oh my God. Marry me.
Right?
Like,
I'm here.
I'm right here, Raul Castillo. Right, I love you. As a friend.
But,
I love you.
Patty was the one that was like, oh, I don't know. And then Kevin came into the picture and he was just like, oh, white man. Let me.
Yeah, that was. I think what happened with Patty was that he was trying to be a player and he actually wanted to settle down. He met someone who wanted to settle down and he was just like, fuck it. I'm going to party. You're just going to use you. When it's like, you just met your perfect man. Shut the fuck up. People. Oh, white boys. White boys in the show. I that's why you got canceled, because of white boys on the show.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was very well written, and I fucking love the show. 4.5 pan dulces, just because there weren't enough Richie. Richie was, they needed more Richie. It would have gotten a perfect thing if it was about Richie. But 4.5, because
I
love
agree.
Richie.
Yeah, same. Mm-hmm. More Richie. That's more what Richie. We needed. And what's really upsetting is that in the second season, he got bumped up to a main character.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he did that, it got canceled.
White gays.
Yeah.
You guys ruin everything. Cis white men, sit down.
Sit down.
Ryan Murphy sat down and he gave us Pose. So what happens when you give us space? See? And they're all femme as well.
Mm-hmm.
God bless the femmes in our lives, because I'm more mask of center. Big dick energy to all the femmes. We love y'all. But anyway, so thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
You're the shit. I want to talk to you more about just literally anything.
Everything. Even the things that we weren't discussing before we started this.
We were like, oh my God. I want to also thank Elevate Studios. We are recording at their wonderful place, and I just want to thank y'all. I want to shout out Elva. I want to shout out Robert. You guys are the shit. Thanks for letting us record in your space, and hopefully we can do this again. Shout out Joe. We love you. And if people want to find you, where can they find you, Richard?
Oh, they can find me on Instagram under Good Enough. It's G Triple F.
Triple F.
Or on Instagram as Ponte Las Pilas.
Ooh!
With three S's at the end.
Yes. Go find him on Twitter. Go find him on Instagram. Thank you so much.
Yes, yes, yes. Bye.
Bye. Do-do-do, do-do-do, do-do-do. Hey, welcome back, guys. So, Maitha, what did you think?
Oh, my God. It was really cool to, like, listen to the podcast in this way where I don't know information on anything. Mm-hmm. And I get to kind of like have the listener experience. I liked it a lot. It was really fun. And Richard, it seems so sweet.
Were you confused?
I was like, what? He did what? What the fuck did he do? But it was super interesting. And I didn't feel spoiled, like, which was nice. I feel like I could go and watch it and be completely amazed.
Okay, good. Because we were trying to not spoil it, but there were some things where I was like, look, it's been like years, so we're just going to talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it works with these particular pieces, for sure. And I'm excited to hear about your experience recording with Elevate Dallas.
Oh my God, they're the sweetest. Elevate Dallas is like this art group collective studio where you can record. There have been other people that have been doing like a recording podcast there. I just don't know. Shout out to Elva. Shout out to Robert. Hopefully they can, you know, we can do something with them in the future, but it's a really badass space. Shout out to Joe as well for being the best and helping a bitch out. But it was really, really good experience there. I really like the atmosphere. We'll definitely be going back. Hopefully when you come to Dallas, we'll be also heading up to Elevate. So everybody, you know, go check out Elevate, go show them love, go show up and show out and do some art. You know, if you have any art you want to do, hit that place up.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely want to go check it out when I'm in town. Definitely want to hopefully even record with them. We'll see how it plays out.
Yes.
So I will say We the Animals mm-hmm. will come out a week from now, so August 17th. So go support that film. We're going to cover it a few weeks later, so it's going to be nice little combo right there.
Yeah, so, and if you're in Dallas and you want to watch We the Animals with us, just hit me up, let me know, I'll go watch it with you, because I'll do anything for El Castillo, that man.
Same thing here in LA, like, our LA surrounding area. I'll go with you guys, because I have no friends.
No.
It's okay, I'm completely fine.
I will
fine
FaceTime you during the movie.
No, that's not,
I know,
can't
you're,
do that.
You're...
You can't do that. That's...
No, each other's faces, not the movie.
But still.
Just to see each other's reactions.
Light, you know? Anyway, this episode...
Yeah, it's super legal. Don't do that, guys.
The episode that... This entire episode was due to the amazing Aaron, who is our patron supporter, and he's on the Arcoiris level, as you mentioned. At that level, you guys can choose, literally, like, choose an episode for us. Be like, this, talk about this and talk about this, and this is great or whatever. And
boom.
So if you guys are interested in that, it's patreon.com/CYC podcast. We also have another Arcoiris level Patreon donator who is going to have an episode curated for us at some point in the future. You want to give that shout out?
Yes. Yes. Shout out to you, Glow. Thank you so much for being a supporter. And pick something finally with your Gemini moon. Anyways. She's a Gemini moon. She cannot make up her mind to save her life. She's like, how about this? And she changes her mind every other day. But I love you. Anyways, thanks, baby.
And speaking of Patreon, like, we have a bunch of awesome, amazing Patreon donators. By the way, you don't have to go on Patreon at all to support us. Like, there's a free way to support us. Like, honestly, what helps just, like, more than anything, helps put us higher in search bars and stuff like that. On iTunes specifically, is just giving us a rating and a review, or at least one or the other, because that puts us, like, the more reviews we get, the more visible we are on iTunes. And we recently, like, dropped down a little bit of a notch because we weren't getting a whole lot of reviews, and then we got a few, and basically, you know, keep throwing those in there because they help a lot. So yeah, I digress.
No, yeah, help some bitches out. Put some reviews in that thing. And, you know, because there aren't a lot of queer Latinx women doing this. You know, we need people of color. We need queer women. We need us to be representing and actually reviewing the things we're in.
Yeah, we're here. We're doing the damn thing. We just want other people to see that, too. But yes. Let's move on and do our Patreon shout outs. Do you want to do, we're going to split it up in threes here. So you want to hit up your first three?
Yeah, for sure. Chrissy, you're the shit. Your Birkenstocks are beautiful. Come on. We need to just start like a Birkenstock like group text. Like just everyone Birkenstocks. Let's just find each other. Let's start a group text and talk about what teas we're drinking and how early we woke up to see the sunrise or, you know, like, how organized we like to be, you know? I would really enjoy that. shout out to Mari Mar, the most silly, goofiest Sagittarius I've met. You're the best. I don't know. I'm super jealous that you get to hang out with Maite all the time, and y'all hang out with each other, but that's fine. Raciel, let's see each other at that Kali Uchis concert. Let's color coordinate. I'm ready. Let's do this. Like, he's the coolest person, and we got to color coordinate.
For sure.
Let's hear from your people. Let's hear, and you got like people from everywhere out here.
Yeah, so shout out to Noelle, who is like a day one. She has her own podcast called How Long Life Podcast. We have both been on that podcast, so if you want to hear more about our personal shit, go hit that up. She's the sweetest girl. And she Alicia really is, who is Australian, and she's freaking cool as heck. Always enjoy hearing from you. And thank you so much for your continued support. And to one of our latest patron donators, other than Chrissy. Chrissy, shout out to you double because you're on the cafecito side, but, you know, just saying. And
well, I'm going to shout her out anyways.
Yeah, it's fine. Erica's the newest, one of the newest ones. Thank you so much for supporting us. We haven't really gotten to chat a whole lot, but, you know, if ever you want to talk about something, we're totally here. And thank you so much for your continued support as well. And I hope that you're enjoying these episodes. To all of you guys, please let us know what kind of episodes you want to hear. Because for the first time ever on our last Patreon episode, which is last week, we did like a live commentary of an episode of Friends, which was really fun.
Their gayest episode, which now in retrospect is kind of sad.
It was, yeah, it's problematic. It's in the 90s, but you get to hear us chat about that, and I'm really excited to keep doing stuff like that. It's really fun.
It is. So you guys are the shit. We love y'all. Thanks for letting us do this. It's the shit, and it means the world.
Thank you so much for listening to everyone out there, and if you're in Dallas, hit me up. I will be around for like 2 days, and
that's enough to party.
Yeah, that's enough time. It's the weekend. All right, so thank
let's
you.
Do it. Bye, guys.
Bye.